Good morning. I'll try that again. Good morning. There we go. We start a new Bible class this morning. This is a Bible class that I'll be teaching. My daughters are passing out some materials for it, and we'll go through that here in just a minute or two. But we will, for the next 13 weeks, be taking a little bit of a study into what I'm calling, I believe, a study of questions of faith. Now, about 4 years ago, I did a similar series, 13 weeks, on different statements and questions of faith. And so we're just kind of, I call this book two, as we are continuing that conversation. So let's kind of get started here. Let me just give you a very quick idea of what we're going to do together. 13 weeks, thanks guys. 13 weeks, and this is really designed to be a journey for you. If you've been in my classes before, you'll realize we'll talk about a lot of things, but I'm expecting you to make choices and decisions about what you believe. And that's the way this is designed. It's designed as a starting point to get you thinking about some of these specific questions and ideas and concepts. It's actually going to try to hopefully engage you in some thought. And then I've always found, frankly, that the classes also enrich the ideas and the concepts a bit. But here's the basic idea. How good are you at answering questions of faith? How good are you at answering questions like, so where did life come from? What about that Adam and Eve story? Is that real? Was Jesus actually a man? Was Jesus actually God? We're going to look at those types of questions over the next few weeks and kind of start our conversation about that. I will remind you that this is not an in-depth discussion of each topic. In fact, we could take any one of these topics, these 13 weeks, and spend 13 weeks on them. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is really to get you thinking a little bit about what do you believe. It's also not to tell you what you should believe. We're going to have some conversations about what I believe, what you believe. We're going to share those things together, but we're about letting you make your choice about what you are believing in certain contexts. As they say, in spring of 15, we did a 13 weeks. These were the topics we talked about back then. And then now in winter of 1920, we're going to talk about topics like where did life come from? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Adam and Eve, the fall of man, or just an interesting story. We're going to talk about why there are two covenants with man. Was Jesus God? Was Jesus man? Jesus' death and resurrection, salvation or a hoax? We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about where is Jesus now? And was there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? We're going to talk about one lesson I call the way, or one of many ways. You heard that before? Yeah, you know, if you talk to anybody, you'll hear that a lot, right? What about unbelievers? We're going to talk about what does God expect? How do I worship in spirit and truth? And what does it mean to live by faith? Do you understand the intent? Yeah, so each week we'll go through one of these, talk about them. And here's kind of the way that each class will kind of be focused. We're going to look at a series of scriptures, and I've only picked 7 each week. We could have done a lot more, but I've chosen 7 each week. We're going to look at those scriptures, feel what it helps us understand about the topic. We may identify some additional scriptures you might want to look at. And what additional study is required? If I do my job in this hour, then you're going to walk away going, you know, I should think more about that. I should study a little bit more about that. And then lastly, and of course, always important whenever we study the Bible is to understand, so what's the implications for my life? So what does this mean for me? What do I do about this? Okay? And then there's a couple things. I've passed out to you I don't know why my daughter's passed that to you to be correct. Two pieces of paper. The first one is printed really weird. I don't know what I did wrong here. But you'll see in the front where it says, I believe. This is just a quick description of a little bit about the class, how we're going to do the class. You'll see the 13 weeks there also listed. These are the 13 topics we're going to talk about over the next period of time. If you flip it, then you'll see how to use the program. And actually, the other thing I passed out to you is a document that for week one here, it says, where does life come from? Has some inquiry questions. It has the seven scriptures, and it has a place where you can take notes if you'd like and think about what we're going to be talking about. But I want to draw your attention to these last couple boxes. The one box says faith statement, I believe. And what I'm hoping you will do based on this class is to be thinking deeply about what do you believe about this topic. And frankly, what I'd like for you to do is to write that down. And maybe after we've studied together, you might want to write it down. And I suggest you put a date beside it. Because I don't know about you, but my beliefs have changed, grown, enriched, hopefully, over time. And then the last thing there, an action statement. Because I believe this, here's what I'm going to do. So if you came this morning expecting this to be a class where you just kind of sit and listen, well, you can. You can sit and listen. Or you can participate in class. Or frankly, you can participate actively in this discussion. In fact, I will publish each week ahead the scriptures so that I, before you leave today, will give you next week's scriptures. So you can look them up, you can think about them, you can pray about it, you can study about it before you even arrive together. Does that make sense? Yes. Joe, you had a question?
I was thinking that faith, I think there's two different ways in which faith is a little bit different. Right? There's faith in God.
Okay.
We talk about that. We talk about faith in yourself because they're both very important.
I'm talking about the strength of your conviction. How about I'll say it that way? What is your conviction about things? Because you'll see, we're going to talk about things related to God. We're going to talk about things related to man. We're going to talk about things related to Jesus. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Good question. Thank you for that. Do you understand how this could be used? Everybody shake your head this way. It makes me feel better when you do that. Thank you. Thank you. on one side of that piece of paper, I also gave you a pretest if you'd like to take it. That doesn't mean you can be exempt from class, by the way. It's just it's a good way to kind of think a little bit about, do you understand these topics? Now, candidly, maybe you really do. And I'm sure some of you have studied these topics in great detail. But I'm challenged at times to be able to articulate what I believe about something. And perhaps you're in the same boat. And so hopefully this class will help you think through that. The other thing that I included for you, if you'd like, is a scripture memory program as well. You know what? When you embed the scriptures in your heart, it helps in every way, but one way, it helps to bring those things back to memory. It helps you be able to handle certain situations. And so each week, if you look at the one that's from this week where it says, where did life come from? You'll notice that on the scriptures, there's two with an asterisk. Isaiah 40:28 and Ephesians 2:10. I just encourage you, if you choose to start maybe memorizing some scripture as part of this class, as well. And there's a little bit of information there on the handouts about how best to do that. Questions, concerns, or emotional outbursts about the class so far? Do you understand what we're going to do? So what we'll do each week is we're going to talk about one of these specific faith questions. And you'll notice I will always start them the same way. We'll always go through it the same way. We'll always end it the same way. So that we can kind of participate. I should mention to you, though, and I thought I had it here, many of you are now using the YouVersion. Do you know what I mean? The YouVersion. It's now available for you. I have set it up on there so that you can go to events just like you would Mike's sermon here in an hour. You can go the same way. You can find the events and you can find all the materials for the course that's there as well. I would encourage you, if you choose to do that, to go there for today and save today's, because what I did learn is that after the service is over, after class is over, I think I set it up to about noon. Afternoon is no longer available. But next week's will be available pretty soon. So I'll put them up there early, and I'll give you the handouts in case you want to use that as a place to keep your notes as well. Okay? Does that make sense? And I thought I put here it is. It's just a hidden slide. Sorry. So you could go to, if you'd like, you can go to the YouVersion, and if you go down under events, you'll see that it pops up locations, and you'll see Holiday Park Church of Christ. You click on that, you'll see there's two things probably there today by now, right?
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, okay. Because it only opens a certain time, but I set mine up to be there like 6 days ahead. So you'll be able to log on during the week and be able to have access to that, and it'll go through the time that we have the lesson. Fair enough? Any questions, thoughts? I tell you what, let's start then with a word of prayer, please. Father and God, as we come before you this morning, we ask for your grace. We ask for your blessings. We ask for your insight, Father, into the scriptures and the questions of faith that are before us. Thank you, Father, that you're a Father that allows us to come to wonder, to question, to challenge, to learn. Father, help us to do each of those this morning. We ask your blessings on this class. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here's the first question. Where did life come from? Sharon said, God. Jesus and the Bible. Yeah, that's right. Those are always the right answers in any class, any Bible class. But if someone asked you that, how would you answer it? Joe?
I'd say, God is light.
Huh?
Light is God.
All right. So there's a profound answer. might get more questions than the answers, but yeah. Joy? All right. How did he do that? Sorry?
He breathed
on. Huh? Yeah? He made choices and things happened. It's interesting, right? Everybody agrees there that that's how life began? If so, we can move on to the next topic. Does everybody around you believe that? What about these questions? Things like, how did life begin? Why did life begin? Are the creation stories of the Bible real? Are they a metaphor? You know what a metaphor is? That's where you feed your sheep. That's what a metaphor. Or is it just a fable? Or what about other theories of the beginning? Are there other theories of how things started? Yes? What about science and the Bible? Do they fit together? Do they conflict? So it's not quite as easy an answer as just, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. It's a good answer. But what does that mean for why we're here, how we're here, those kind of things, yeah? So what do you believe?
I believe I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's right. I believe I've got a lot of questions, she said. As soon as I get there, one of the questions I want to ask. All right, yeah? Jim?
So I think that there's a couple of parts here. One is very often when you have these discussions with people, it's often not around where life came from, how, you know, what was creation, that sort of stuff, but you have to start off with, is there a God? Because very often, you know, I would get in these arguments about evolution, and it was not about evolution. It was about whether I believe in a God and they don't, and I, you know, that was the argument. The evolution and creation part was pretext or whatever.
Post-text, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, do you understand what Jim's saying? Isn't that true, right? I mean, a lot of times you get into these deep conversations about these ideas, where did life begin, and things like that, and it's really kind of masking what the real question is. Yeah? It's a great point. Anybody want to venture a statement of faith here? What do you believe? Yes, ma'am.
Coincide with science. Not all of my beliefs will coincide with my neighbors or society. And I'm okay with not having all of the answers, because I think that's integral to believing, is accepting a lack of knowledge, that I'm going to be striving towards it, but I'll never reach it while I'm living on this earth.
Wow, thank you. A lot of profound things in that. Thank you for that. Earl?
We're all just human beings. We have to conclude things. I think that there used to be a statement, and I've put this before, that I do not believe in blind faith or the leap of faith. I don't believe in any of those, either of those. I think they're trash. No leap of faith. Anything I ever leaped into usually hurt me. It was not the thing to do. It just was whatever. We look at what has been made, I do, and work back to its source as best we can with our ability to conclude. And so I work back from all the things I see around me, including within me, and I work back from there to say, it had to have a creator. Who was he? What was he like? I learned that from Scripture for sure, and I learned that from analyzing what he has made. He has made incredible things. My thumb. It didn't have to be there. If it weren't there, I couldn't pick up nothing. My eyes. Incredible miracles. He had to be one amazing creator. Does he fit the person described in Scripture? Yes, he does. He loves. He cares. He gives us things that are a product of his love. And we can work back to a faith in the real God who in the beginning created.
Thank you. Appreciate your faith statement. I mean, let's look at a few things here. Let me share with you some information. You know the Gallup organization? Do you know these guys? They do polls, Gallup polls. And this one, I'm sorry, is a little small probably to be able to see. But here was the question. The question that the Gallup organization has done since early 80s, and they did it most recently this year. They asked the question, which of the following statements comes closest to your views on the origin and development of human beings? The first one was, human beings have developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God guided the process. That was option one. Option two was, human beings have developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, but God had no part in the process. That was option number two. And number three was, God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years or so. That was option three. And which do you think is most popular?
One.
So, yeah, from the data here, percent man developed with God guiding is the green, and you'll see that's at about 33% of people. 22% said man developed, you know, from lesser beings, but God had nothing to do with it. And then roughly 40% said that that God created man in present form. So roughly 40% said kind of created man the way they are. There was 33% of people said, we have changed from lower beings, but God kind of guided that. And then there were others that said, nope, we just came from lower beings and there was no God connection. Look at the last, look at that bottom line though. That's, for me, what is most striking. You see, in 1983, there was about 10% of people that said, basically, God had no influence on this. And now it's up to about 22%. And to me, actually, I think that feels a little low from the people I deal with. Actually, there are other, oh, maybe I did include it. Yeah, here's some other kind of percentages here. I don't know if you can see this very well, but you see the first column there says God created man in present form. People that go to church, about 68% of people say that. People that don't go to church, seldom or never, only about 27% say that. You can see that this is a strong view of Protestants, 56%, Catholic, 34%. And education, with no college degree, about 48% of people say that. And with a college degree, about 23% of the people say that. Does that surprise you? Actually, if we study Romans, it probably shouldn't, right? Because Romans talks about how God hid some of his secrets from the very wise, or the ones that think they're wise. But isn't it interesting, right, that there are multiple views about where this all began? I would remind you that the first series that I taught had questions like, do we believe in Scripture? Who is God, and things like that. And if you want to go back to that content, there's a 13-week, and Mike will publish it for me in the next week or two. We'll put it out on the website, and you can go back through all of those lessons on those topics as well. But this one is about life, and where does life begin? So what do you think Christians believe? Mike?
Well, Jim, this shows the tension and why it is difficult. Where people are in that tug of war, you know, with all kinds of views, and you know, sometimes they pit science against Scripture and things like that. But I think that's why we tread cautiously here, because we know that we're sort of like, we're not surrounded by people who automatically agree with God's Word. You know, that's just where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And it's trending, you know, where we are becoming more and more.
I mean, look at this here, that even those that claim to be religious, what was that, 24% say that God had no part in creation. That's pretty surprising.
There was a statistic that came out a couple years ago that showed that there were many ministers that believed that Jesus was a miraculous birth.
Huh. So the reason I bring these things up is that I think we all have to have our statement of faith. And is there one Christian statement of faith here? Jim?
I think the statement of faith is what was expressed earlier. I don't have all the answers. This is what I believe, and this is why I believe it. I can give you a reason for why I believe it. But I'm willing to listen to you and to want you.
Thank you. Anne?
I believe that further than that, a real understanding of who God is makes a lot of the other questions much less important. How did God create everything? Does it matter? He tells us how he did it, but my insistence, there's no way I understand this. I don't understand what Jesus is saying. God is so much more. If I understand his omniscience, then I back off from a lot of other questions that I might like to have an answer.
Yeah. You know, when I was in college, I was working with a group that would do Bible studies in the dorms. And what I found about myself was that when I started those Bible studies, I had in my mind what the answer was, and my job was to teach somebody else what the answer was. And they didn't go very well. When I realized that my job was to ask the questions and let the Spirit work with the two of us to to come to answers and to be willing to let my views evolve and change as well. Ooh, I used that evolve word. Evolve and change. Then things went better. Does that make sense? And I think that's part of our challenge here, because it's easy to jump and say, well, of course it means, well, let's understand that a bit. Steve had a hand. Then I'll get to John.
To what quote Jim and said, you know, to kind of amplify. And what does the Genesis account say? It says God spoke, and what he spoke came into existence. That's the message. We don't need to worry about the particulars of anything else in there. That's the message God was delivering to us. I spoke and it came into existence. So is there a, go back to your question, a Christian pronouncement of faith, a statement or whatever, to accept all of that is to take God at his word that that's what happened. He spoke everything into existence. He's the creator. Forget all the rest of it. We get lost when we start arguing fine points and what does this mean, what's that mean? But we lose sight of what God really intends to say to us. I created. That's what we're supposed to accept and realize as our faith. And the means that he used to do it, he chose not to give us details about it. So maybe that means we shouldn't dwell on details either. Let that nature just be real detail.
I understand that perspective. I share that perspective. A lot of others don't. A lot of others say, well, then you're not being realistic. You're not thinking about things. I'm going to get to John, and then I got a couple others here. John?
I stayed with my faith. Well, I wouldn't be here this morning if I didn't believe. Okay. I wouldn't be wasting my time. But I don't consider it a waste of time.
Sure.
Because I'm here. Okay. All right, the next thing is, I might say, is that God created us in his own image. Okay. We're just a little bit lower than the angels. Okay. God created some angels that actually rebelled against him, called Satan and his followers. Okay. So I think sometimes, you know, God was real gracious to human beings because he gave us a conscience. All right. And I think sometimes, like Steve was just saying, we think a little bit too much of ourselves. And Jim just said something along those lines too. Because you get to these places in life, well, we know more than God. All the scientific things I'm talking about that you see on TV and studying, et cetera, et cetera. I just think sometimes man just thinks too highly of themselves. And they ought to think, be more thankful to the Creator than they are.
We're going to come back to that point. Thank you, John.
Okay. I think is pretty much the opposite of what John said is that as Christians, it's so dangerous to just disregard everything science says. I think that science, I feel like God has a special place in his heart for scientists who are willing to search and search and search, and they're studying and they're digging deeper. And in their own hearts, maybe they're trying to disprove God, but to me, the closer you look, the more incredible God becomes, the more incredible creation is, and the intricacies that you would think that, you know, we're getting down to in between cells and inside of it, and it becomes even more detailed and more complex. You know what I mean? I think that science, if Christians could stop dividing themselves so strictly with science, science goes so beautifully with God and creation in the Bible. You know what I mean? That if we could stop trying to separate it so much, instead of embrace digging deeper and studying, and they found nothing to disprove God in science, you know what I mean, as much as some scientists are trying. You know what I mean? I think that in a lot of things, these things go hand in hand, that it is incredible.
I wish Leah was here this morning. a scientist, actually, that has very strong opinions on this, and is very thoughtful about these ideas. Because I'm... Go ahead, Andy.
I was thinking that the challenge is to be willing to go there with other perspectives, even if you don't believe it. Because if you are just dead set and this is what it
Interesting challenge, isn't it, to think about how to blend these ideas together and to think about it. Just very quickly here, I found this individual who suggests there are kind of five views about how life began, and he put them side by side, actually identifying three of them that are kind of Christian-based views. The first one here, the scientific view, saying, you know, you see down the left-hand side where it says creator view of man, timing, and mechanism. Again, it is fair, and it is a statement of faith to say, I don't care about any of that. But let's consider it for a few minutes. And these are the things that they were talking about. One was the scientific view, which meant there really may or may not be a creator. There's really no impact. That's not what they tend to think about. View of man is, well, they're just another evolved animal, right? Timing, billions of years based on multiple resources and tests of certain things suggesting those dates, and then the mechanism being kind of an automatic evolutionary process, moving from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. We've heard about that, right? Kind of the traditional view, scientific view. If you look at the far right side, where it talks about philosophical naturalism, again, no creator, we're just another animal, billions of years, kind of unguided in any way, evolution. This is kind of the more atheistic viewpoint. Does that make sense? And look at the three in the middle, kind of curiously. There's the young earth, the creationism, there's old earth creationism, and there's theistic evolution. That's what I say. When you think about the young earth, yes, there is a God, views man as the pinnacle of his creation. Timing is 6 days, and the mechanism is special creation. So what are we talking about here? This is the fairly literal view of Genesis, right? On 6 days, what did he do on the seventh day? Rested, yep. And what did he create on the sixth day? Man, which was the pinnacle of his creation. That's that view, right? That makes sense. Look at the old earth view. The old earth view believes there's a God, believes that man is the pinnacle of creation. However, that it took billions of years to do it. And there was a special, God still created man, but he did it over billions of years. And usually you hear associated with that, one day is like 1,000 years, people are saying, can we limit God to those kinds of ideas or perspectives? And then if you look at the theistic evolution, here we've got a God that is the creator. The pinnacle of creation is man, billions of years to do it, and God initiates and directs evolution. We heard about that one? What does the word evolution mean, by the way? Huh?
Change.
Yes. So I can stand in front of you today and say, I believe in evolution. Doesn't mean I believe in the theory of evolution of people coming from monkeys and monkeys coming from whatever, whatever. But the concept of evolution just means things change. And some argue it is the ultimate brilliance of a designer to design something that adapts to its environment and to its situation. That's kind of what's going on in this one. Does that make sense? Yes? So again, the challenge here is, particularly if you're trying to talk to somebody who may be scientific, may have a scientific view, you may have to help understand and be willing to also open your ideas and perspectives to them in that process as well. I'll go to Jim and then Mike.
When you're talking to somebody like that, don't assume that their theory of evolution is the same as the next scientist's theory of evolution. Too. Ask them, this is one thing to engage them with. Ask them which theory they believe and which theory they follow.
Sure. Do you notice there's an interesting term there? It's called the theory of evolution. Why is it called a theory of evolution? Yes, just like some would say there is a theory of creation. Because it's very hard to prove anything in that context, right? However, we've moved away from that concept of theory in a lot of places. But Mike was going to say.
Yeah, I was going to say that Jim makes a good point that, you know, it's not monolithic, but, you know, people are thinking of a scientific view. And they, I think sometimes we start talking about God, they will assume we are in a certain pigeon pole as well. And so that's, it can happen when you're communicating with people on both sides.
Yeah, in fact, and I don't mean to embarrass them, but they don't remember this, but I do very clearly. Around the dinner table one night, one of my children asked me, "So why don't you believe in dinosaurs?" What? I have no idea where that came from, but there were beliefs, there were perspectives, there were concepts that they assumed I had, and I may not, right? It's an interesting and challenging thing. What we need to do, though, very quickly, and we mentioned one other point here, and that is Scripture itself, if you look at Romans 1:18, explains to us that there is more than one way to understand who God is. Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodly," against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal nature and divine, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what is made, so that people are without excuse. And this visual, I think, kind of illustrates, again, I got this from the same person, but kind of illustrates it pretty well, that there's kind of two revelations. One of them is a scriptural revelation, and the other is who we are and what God has created as a revelation in terms of His nature, and we interpret and understand that accordingly. Does that make sense? I thought that was pretty interesting, actually. But then, this is my argument. When somebody asks me about this, and particularly if they have this mindset that we have evolved from paramecium in the ocean, I just ask, so how in the world did that happen by accident? The inner ear. And if you look at the inner ear in particular, I remember studying this as a kid, the eardrum, the hammer, the anvil, the stirrup. If those weren't organized exactly the way they were, there would be no hearing. And we don't tend to talk about how things went from not hearing to hearing, or from not seeing to seeing, or from not speaking to speaking. We don't tend to talk about those things. And again, hey, you know, help me understand how that could be true if there wasn't a creator, if there wasn't creation, if there wasn't something. So I wanted to just kind of stimulate your questions, and then because of my time, I need to get to a few scriptures here. And let's look at a few scriptures and see what Scripture tells us about this. The first one we talked about, Genesis 1:1-2 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. That we could spend months trying to understand. In the beginning, God. Because someone mentioned it earlier, it does assume that there is a God, and that God has a capability that is absolutely remarkable. Now tell me, I'm going to take a big chance here. Does this mean that there wasn't a Big Bang? Who knows? Yeah, I mean, I guess the point is that we don't know how God did it. So God could have done it in any way, shape, or form, right?
Everything created after that had to have something that was in the beginning to create. He created the original.
Yeah, there are two typical challenges to folks who choose not to think about there being a designer. One of them is, so what happened? Where did all that stuff come from that began, even if it was a Big Bang? And the second and more important question to me is, why? And in the beginning, God answers both of those questions. But we'll talk more about that. Here's a couple other scriptures. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, or his understanding and his understanding no one can fathom. So what do you learn about this concept of where things began from this scripture? What? He's bigger and smarter than me. This scripture calls him the creator of the ends of the earth. And at the end of it, it says, as others have so eloquently said, and there's nothing we're going to do to make it make sense to us. Completely. Steve?
Just real quick. And where are the ends of the earth? Here you go, Jack. Now that we understand the science of what the world actually looks like, where's the end of the earth?
Pittsburgh is the end of the earth?
Anywhere you go, you get back to it again. There is no end. And so with God saying, you know, one day you'll learn to understand that there is no end to the earth, but I'm the one who understands it, and you don't.
Anybody know of John Clayton? I used to say this, everybody would raise their hand. Not much anymore. Because he's probably in his 80s. But a man who started as a staunch atheist, started studying the Bible because he found himself a little sweet on this woman who was a Christian, ended up trying to convince her that there was no God, this was all rubbish. He ended up converting himself. He was a high school biology teacher, taught biology for years, and he has an amazing series, if you're ever interested. His delivery isn't always great because he is an older man at this point, but his content is absolutely remarkable. And he deals with these issues in a lot of detail. And I encourage you, if this is something that's interesting to you, he also has a pamphlet that he and his organization mails out. In fact, the McKees used to go to what?
It's actually now an order, but he works mostly online.
Oh, okay, so it's mostly online. But Nancy and Mark actually went to the congregation that he went to for years. Here's a couple other scriptures to look at. I love this one. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. So here, the revelation of Scripture is helping us understand who God is as well as the Creator.
Through Him, all things were made that was made.
Exactly. We're going to get to that Scripture in just a second. You're exactly right. Here's another one. And God said, let us make man in our own image. This is back in Genesis 1. Make man in our own image, in our likeness, so that he may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every creature, a living creature that moves on the ground. Here we're starting to learn not just what was created, but why man was created. Interesting. A couple more quickly. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Here, the psalmist is recognizing God's continual movement and God's continual control over what he has created. And then, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is an interesting topic to me. It's a challenging topic to think about why and how we were created. I wanted you to just expand and think a little bit today about how these pieces might fit together, why these pieces fit together. It's more than just, do you not believe in creationism? Do you not, you know? It's putting some richness to that, studying and understanding what you think. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to be wrong in what we conclude. And sometimes we may be able to find how those things like science and faith link. Final comments, thoughts? I'm out of time. I do want to mention on Isaiah 45, woe to those who quarrel with their master, those who are nothing but potsherd among the potsherd on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, why are you making? Does your work say the potter has no hands? It's an interesting thing for a Christian to understand who we are and in what context we ask this question. I'm thankful that God allows us to ask it. So here's what I want you to think about as you leave this morning. You know, are there other scriptures that might lend insight to this? Are there other research or resources you could use? I gave you one with John Clayton and his work. Are there other questions raised? What do you believe about this? And I am convinced that Christians need to know what they believe about these things. And then what does this mean for your daily life? If you believe there's a creator, if you believe that you are the pinnacle of his creation, if you believe he created you for a purpose, what does that mean for your life? So a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you that you created. Father, thank you that you are the powerful creator. We ask your blessings today, God. In Jesus' name, amen.